I feel like it's been forever since I've been up here. We had our, for those that are just coming in, we've had our Love, Sex, and Dating series about a month ago. That was with, we watched some really good videos by Andy Stanley, and now we are transitioning out of Senior Speak. We just had all of our, or not all of our, we just had some of our seniors come before us and speak, and that was really encouraging for me just to listen to the seniors and hear what God has worked through them through their entire year of their entire time in high school. So now, let me introduce myself first. Some of you that may not know me. My name's Lee. I am the associate youth pastor here at RBC. So I'm, thank you. I love working here. I love working with all of you guys, and I'm excited even for this morning for what God's put on my heart. We're starting a series that we're going to go throughout the whole summer. It's called The Big Deal Series. It's called The Big Deal Series, and we're just going to be kind of hitting on some different messages that are the big deal in your life. And we're excited about it because we think these are some things that really will speak to you. Today, the message is called The Big Deal About Freshmen. The Big Deal About Freshmen. And you're like, what? What's the big deal about freshmen? That's what all the upperclassmen are saying. There's such a big deal, we made a sign for them over there that says, welcome, freshmen. Yeah! Mark Land, represent. Thanks to Tyler and Jonathan, our summer interns, for making that sign. Let's give them a clap there. All right. So if you're an upperclassman here and you're like, okay, I'm going to tune this message out, I want to encourage you, don't tune this message out because this will speak to you. And at the end, I will wrap it up of why it does matter to you. But freshmen, I want to start out with some secrets for you, okay? I want to give you some secrets as you transition into high school and you know some stuff. The first one is, there, no matter what anybody tells you, there's no pool on the third floor of your high school, okay? No pool. There is not a pool there. Okay, the second secret is, if you go to the sixth lunch line, they do not have snow cones there. There is no snow cones in the sixth lunch line, okay? Third secret. This is only the smallest of freshmen can actually fit in lockers. So you got to be the smallest of the smallest. So most of you, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about that. All right, the fourth secret is, having 500 Facebook friends does not mean you have 500 friends. That's just not true, okay? So just know that. That's not true. Okay, fifth secret is, and they're getting a little bit more serious as we go on. Some are kind of funny, but the fifth one is, just because someone may post to Instagram or whatever social media is and their hashtag is always great life, that doesn't actually mean they have a great life. That doesn't actually mean that. But we can think that sometimes. We can think because we see these pictures on social media that this or that person has the perfect life, and that's just not true. The sixth one, being drunk does not actually feel good. Being drunk does not actually feel good. Seventh one, this one is kind of funny, but true at the same time. Making out in the hall is not attractive, and nobody wants to see that. That is just true, okay? That one's true. All right, the eighth secret is making fun of people does actually hurt their feelings. You know, we've heard this saying since we were young, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is not true. The Bible says there is serious power in words. And some of you here are testaments to the words that people have spoken to you that have deeply hurt you. Words matter. The ninth one is the so-called popular crowd in the school is actually the minority. And most people don't actually want to be like them, but they need love too. They need love too. And finally, the 10th one, and it's two-part. More AP classes does not make you a better Christian, and taking the easiest also does not make life easier. So that's just some practical wisdom as we start out, just some top 10 secrets for you freshmen to kind of understand. Those are some things that no one will really probably tell you, the things you have to learn. And I hope that even just in those 10 things, you learn some practical wisdom there as you go into high school. I do want to kind of talk a little bit about freshmen. What are you feeling right now? I think you're feeling like everything's new. This is the first time you've ever sat in a Sunday morning, and it's new. It's unknown. There's a lot of unknown. What's going to happen when I go into high school and it's a new place? Unknown can be scary. You know, you feel like I was at the top. Now I'm back down at the bottom. You're trying in some ways, maybe not right now because we're transitioning into summer, but as you get into high school, it's going to feel like, man, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. I'm trying to just get my schoolwork done. I'm trying to be friends. I'm trying to do all these different things. And you're feeling like, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. You might be thinking, it's all I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to make it through my freshman year. I'm not trying to worry about anything. I'm just trying to make it through. I'm just going to put my head down and make it through. You're probably feeling like you can't help anybody else. How could you reach out to those around you and love them? How could you do that? Because you feel like, man, I can barely even help myself. I can barely deal with my own problems. You're probably feeling like I'm ready to be a sophomore. I'm ready to get this freshman thing over this unknown, and it can be a scary time. And I want to say the second thing is probably what you may feel like the world is saying to you. When I say the world, what you feel like, you know, someone might not say this to you, but what you're feeling like is, what the world's saying to you is that you're at the bottom, you're the lowest, you have to work your way up. And by the way, these are on your sheet. If you want to take those sheets that are on your table, we love making fill in the blanks for you, so you can take something home and you can follow along with us. What the world is saying, you're a freshman, you're at the bottom, you're the lowest person on the totem pole. They're saying you have to work your way up. You don't just get, and that's somewhat true in life, but I think we get that feeling, you know what, I've got to pay my dues, I got to do the things to work my way up. You probably feel like your opinion doesn't really matter. Feel like your opinion doesn't really matter. And the last one is, you probably feel like, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to give to those around me, to my friends, because I'm just trying to deal with my own stuff. You know, that's some of the things that you feel like the world is saying. And I hope that some of those resonated with you to realize, you know what, I'm not alone in feeling that. And some of you that aren't rising freshmen, you might be feeling the same things. And we're going to talk about today from God's word is, it's interesting because God's kingdom versus the world's kingdom is so different. That's a little bit what we're going to talk about today and what God says to you, no matter where you are, whether you're a rising freshman, whether you're feeling like, I'm just at the bottom, I have nothing to give. God's word speaks so strongly to you, and it's really cool. Open up to James chapter 2, verse 5. This is where we're going to spend some time today. James chapter 2, verse 5. Open up to that. James chapter 2, verse 5. We also got it on the screens, but if you have it with you, you can make some notes in your Bible on it. This is just one verse, but it speaks so loudly and has some really cool stuff to say. So we talked about how I'm feeling, the things that I'm saying to myself, the things that the world is saying to me. Now, what about what God says to me? What does God say to me? I know it's hard a lot of times. We think, yeah, I know. God loves me. God cares for me. Or like my parents. Yeah, I know my parents love me. They care for me. But they're supposed to. God's supposed to. He has to. My prayer today is, as we kind of walk through this passage and a few others, that you take it to heart and say, man, if the God of this universe, the creator of this universe, says this to me, then it matters. It's important. James 2, verse 5 says, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? Let me pray. Lord, this is a verse that is countercultural, that is some ways reverse in our thinking of how we normally live. God, I pray that your spirit would speak to us, God, in ways that we can't understand, to help us understand what this means and apply it to our lives and comfort us and challenge us. And Lord, I pray specifically for the freshmen here, the rising freshmen, Lord, that you will, God, give them grace to understand this and grace to live it out. And God, we are just so glad they're with us. Amen. So James, in this verse, he takes God's kingdom, the way that God's kingdom works, and he takes the way that the world's kingdom works, and he contrasts them, right? So here's what, and I'm not saying this is what all upperclassmen feel like, but I'm saying this is kind of what it's like. The upperclassmen, the way that God sees them right now, he actually sees them in the lowly position. He sees them in the lowly spot. Why? That seems so weird. As from the world's standpoint, the upperclassmen now, they're at the top. They're at the top in the school. They're there. They have everything. And it's true. They've made it through. They somewhat have the power now. Their opinion matters. You know, they have the experience. And so what's crazy is God saying, you know how I see it? I see you in the lowly position. That's the position that I want you to take is the lowly one because I want you to serve those who don't have it all, who don't have the power, who don't have the confidence. So that's not how the world works. The world says, if you're on top, take it, grab it. You have the power. You have the control. Do what you want. And yet God comes in and he says, if you're in the high position in the world, I want you to be at the lowly position because I want you to serve those around you because you do have it all. You know my truth. You know that I love you. And then the underclassmen in God's kingdom, you're in the high position. You're in the high position. He says, listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world? And in the world sense right now, those that are coming into high school at the bottom are in the low position. They're the poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God, which he has promised to those who love them. But before we can grasp this verse and understand what it means and apply it to our lives, we have to understand as I walk through that there's God's kingdom and there's the way that he sees it, the way that he talks to us, what he says to us, and then there's the world's kingdom and what that says. So we see that those that are in God's kingdom that are in the high position, they're actually in the low position because he wants you to serve. He wants you to love those around you. And if you're in the low position in the world standard, God puts you in the high position because he cares about the poor. He cares about those that are weak. He cares about those that are in the bottom. And James says three really cool things that I hope for you to understand today. And the first one is, he says, listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world? Chosen. The word chosen. It is through God's grace. And we throw that word around a lot. We throw the word grace around a lot, but it's through God's power. It's through what we don't deserve that God has chosen the poor of the world. He has picked you out. He has picked you specifically. You freshmen here, God has chosen you specifically for his grace, for his power. He's chosen you to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom. When the world says to you, you're just a freshman, you're just at the bottom, God says, no, I have chosen you specifically to do my will, to walk with me, to be part of my story. You know, throughout, if you read any of the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, what we call the Gospels, because it kind of goes through Jesus' life. If you read just a little bit of those, two chapters, you will always see that as Jesus lived his life out, he always went to the poor, to those that were hurting. Why? Because they realized, I need something. I'm in need of this. I'm in need of this healing power. I'm in need of his touch. I'm in need of him forgiving me. And so what happens is when we're in the low spot, when we're at the bottom, where there's nothing that we really can do to put ourselves higher, that's when we lean on God. That's when we go to him and say, I'm desperate. I have nothing to give. I have no power. I have no control here. God, will you speak to me? And that's the people that God goes to, with those that are weak. So even if you're in here and you feel like I'm at the bottom, God's saying, I've chosen you to be rich in faith. I will give you my grace. I have chosen you. But see, Jesus, he didn't go to those in the high position who we would look at as the Pharisees, these religious leaders. He went to them and he said, you're just like a whitewashed tomb. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're rotting away because they didn't understand their need for him. But he has chosen those that are poor in the world sense. Think about it like this. When you're chosen by God, think about it like this, and being one of the words that you did in your Pictionary game was feast. When you're chosen by God, God is saying, think about this feast that I've laid out before you. Think about all of your favorite foods, the most delicious foods that you could think of. For me, it would be cheesecake with strawberries. All right, so you think about this feast that God has laid out before you. If God was the host of the party, and you think about your favorite foods, all of them lined up, it's just this delicious thing. And think about, you would be the poor of that country. The king would never invite you to that feast. Why would he invite? He would want to invite the people that could do something for him, the people that are able to give something. And when God says, I've chosen the poor of the world, that's like God going into D.C. and saying, I will pick all of the homeless people out there, and I will choose them and bring them into this feast. And that's what God's saying to you. He's saying, I have a feast laid out before you. It may not be physical blessings, but it's a peace in your life that surpasses all understanding of knowing that God's in control. It's the ability to walk in your school with confidence because you know that God loves you, and no one else can give you your confidence, but only God alone. That's what God is inviting you to when he says, I've chosen you. I've chosen the poor of the world to come into this feast. There's a cool quote that says, he who is happy in his own conscience shall not be made poor by the judgment of others. See, someone that realizes, a believer that realizes, God has chosen me out of this world to love me, to give me purpose, to give me confidence, that person is able to say, the judgment of others, no matter what they say, it doesn't matter. The only judgment that matters is God and what he says about me. So freshman, you are chosen by God. And in the area where the world may say that you are poor, you are lowly, God says, I've chosen you. The second thing is that he says, not only are you chosen, but you're rich in faith. You're rich in faith. See, those in the high position in life that seem like they have the power, seem like they have the control, they're trusting in themselves, not trusting in God, not putting their faith in God. So they're not rich in faith because it's all in them. What can I do? How can I handle people? How can I control people? How can I control this situation? And God's saying, those that are poor, that are in the lowly spot, are at the spot where they say, I know there's nothing I can do. And because of that, you are rich in faith. See, it's okay to be in the lowly spot of life. It's okay to be on the bottom because in that point, we come to God and we say, I got nothing to give, God, but I'm rich in faith because I believe that you can work. As a freshman, you know your worldly position, and because of that, you're fully trusting in God for all your needs. See, when you go into a new high school, you know you're going to need to make friends there. You're rich in faith. You say, God, you'll supply the friends that I need. You'll supply the Christian brothers and sisters that I need in my life. God, you'll give me significance. I don't need it from other people. I don't need to go into the peer pressure so that I can find significance. No, God, I'm rich in faith. I believe you. I believe that you will give that to me. See, faith is what truly makes you rich because you trust God to supply what you need. Faith is believing and trusting God that he will supply what you need no matter what. And it's in those times when we realize in our own selves, we have nothing to give, that we fully trust God. It's God's grace that makes you rich. It's God's power. It's nothing that you can do in yourself. And see, what's cool about that is this is the gospel. You may have heard the word, you know, have heard the gospel before, but the gospel in its essence, when it gets down to it, is God did something that we can never do for ourselves. At this point, a lot of times we can't do anything for ourselves, but we go to God and we say, I'm rich in faith, Lord, because I believe you will supply what I need. And I think there is many upperclassmen in this room right now that are rich in faith. They are rich in faith. And the reason for that is because they've realized their position before God and before man. And I'm continually working on that, saying, God, help me to understand how it is to be rich in faith, to not look at myself like I've got it all under control, like I can do it, but to trust in you. So we're chosen by God. Freshman, you're chosen by God. You're rich in faith. And the final one is, you're an heir of the kingdom. You're an heir of the kingdom. So the heir of the kingdom, let's put it in contrast to the heir of the world. So if we're an heir of the kingdom, we're an heir of what God has for us, and that ultimately is heaven. The contrast, the heir of the world would be, you know, in the end, there's going to be pain. There's going to be a lot of pain as we continue to search for our own meaning. We're going to find pain there. We're not going to have any purpose in life. We're going to pursue one thing and realize that really didn't give us full purpose. We're going to pursue another thing and realize that didn't give us purpose. We're going to look for significance in relationships and money. We're going to be living for self, anything to fill us. See, that's the someone that's an heir of a family fortune is, they get, you know, when that person dies, they get that those things that they left them. And God's saying, right now, you're an heir of the kingdom if you believe in me and you have all that I have. If you're part of God's kingdom, the cool thing is it requires nothing but faith. To be a part of God's kingdom, to be an heir of his kingdom, requires nothing but faith. It's nothing that you can do. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be cool enough. You don't have to be popular enough. See, that's what the world says. The world says, if you'll just do these things, you'll be popular. If you just live this way, you'll have all the friends. See, that's what the world's telling you. They're telling you all these lies. And then when you believe them, you're an heir of those things. You get what they're giving. For an heir of God's kingdom, we know that we don't ever have to be good enough. We don't ever have to be cool enough. God says, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are burdened, come to me. I will give you rest. I will fill you. And instead, you can have real freedom in life. Real freedom in life to live God's way, to live his desires, find purpose there. And the coolest thing about being an heir of the kingdom is it's not when we die that we finally inherit it. God says, right now, I have that life for you. I'll give you all you need. As you're a freshman, you're walking through the halls and you're having to go through the peer pressure of saying no to things. As you're, you know, trying to decide, okay, am I going to do these certain things to be in that friend group? Am I going to give myself over to this thing? Am I going to put all my life into schoolwork? Am I going to put it all into sports? As you're wrestling through those things, God says, I will give you all your need. You are my son. You are my daughter. You come to me. I will give you the wisdom. I will give you the guidance. I will give you the faith. So my question to you is, freshman, if you realize this, that you are chosen by God, that you are rich in faith, and that you're an heir of his kingdom, if you know those things and you take them to heart and you believe in them, you even go back to this verse, you memorize it. As you walk the halls, what could God do in you that you never thought possible? I want you to start thinking that. What could you do that you never thought possible? How could you impact the kingdom of God that you never thought possible? Because see, if we believe these things, that we're chosen by God, we're rich in faith, we're an heir of his kingdom, we realize that we get all we need from God. We don't need the satisfaction of the world. And then God can so use us in that way because we say, God, I believe it. Guide me, direct me. So as I close down, I want to just open up to Matthew 6 to kind of wrap everything up. We're talking about for the freshmen feeling like they're in the lowly position. And God says, you might be in the lowly position in the world, but in my eyes, you are in the high spot. I care for you. And so I want to go to something practical. It's just Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20. He says, Jesus is talking here. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, that will your heart be also. Now, I think Jesus, in a lot of ways, is talking about material things here. He's saying, don't try to get all these material things, all these different phones and video games, as life goes on, cars, houses. Don't try to get all these things thinking you can take those with you when you leave. Those can be used for my glory, but in the end, when you die, they're gone. He's saying, don't amass those things here. But I want to take in a little bit of a different spin. And this is one other secret that I didn't talk about. There's a game that everybody's playing. Kind of the game of life. And everybody's in that game. But the secret to it is that in the game that many are playing, we're trying to say, what will I do to get these friends? What will I do to get this thing to feel good? See, everybody's in this game, this seeking for significance, this seeking for purpose. But God says to you in Matthew 6, 19 through 20, he says, don't try to lay up for yourselves popularity here on earth or pleasures here on earth. Don't have those be your end. But instead, he says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So I want to talk to you about some of the battles that you will face. I want to give you a few battles that as you choose God's way, you will be building up treasures in heaven. Some of the battles you face is giving in to peer pressure to be in a group of friends. Another battle would be outwardly denying your faith, or it could be just keeping silent about your faith. Standing alone at times, even amongst your Christian friends. There'll be times, even amongst your Christian friends, you will have to stand alone in following God. Seeking worldly accomplishments instead of God's praise. Another battle you may fight is, even here, is saying, you know what, I'm not going to go to Gap anymore. There's a bunch of hypocrites here. That's a battle you'll have to fight. And God says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. As we choose God's path and the battles that you will fight, you're laying up those treasures in heaven. So really comes down to why I choose the world's way or why I choose God's way. I may be low. As a freshman, you may be feeling like I'm low, I'm rejected by the world. But God has chosen you to sit at his banquet table. And I pray that as you start your freshman year, you get a picture of that saying, God has chosen me. He has a plan for me. He has a path for me. He has a purpose, a great purpose. In 2 Corinthians 6, 3-10, Paul is talking about all these different things he's gone through. He says, I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned. All these different things. And in the end, he says, having nothing. In the world's eyes, he says, I have nothing. But he says, yet I possess everything. How could Paul say that? That is so hard. I don't feel like I can say that to myself. Because when trouble comes to me, I say, God, where are you? Are you not working here? And Paul says, I have nothing, yet I possess everything. And the reason for that, Paul could say that, is because he gets it, that he was chosen, that he's rich in faith. He's an heir of God's kingdom. He says, God has created this feast for me in life where I can go to, I can get my significance from God, my purpose from him. And I can eat of that and enjoy that feast, and I don't have to get it from the world. So as I close down, I just want to give you some real practical things. What do I do now? If you're a freshman, you're sitting here and you're saying, Lee, that's a good message. Sitting at the feast, enjoying the feast. Yeah, God's chosen me. What are some of the things that I practically do now? One thing is you got to take on the fact that don't see your lowly state, don't see being a freshman as a bad thing, but see it as a platform to live for Christ. See that as a platform to live for Christ. Think about this. You go into your first day at school, your first week of school. All your other friends are like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared of the upperclassmen. I'm so scared of all these different things. Like, we got to go to this thing. We got to do this thing so that we can be cool, get all these different things. And what if you're like, dude, it's cool. Like, I know God has a plan. I know he has a path. Yeah, I'm going to say no to some things. I'm going to say yes to some things that other people aren't. What if we choose those ways and instead of kind of breeding this idea of no confidence, trusting in God, you will speak to your friends. You will show them that Christ lives in you. So don't see your kind of this the bottom of being a freshman as a bad place to be, but see it as a platform to draw others to Christ. And think about this. If you're sitting at the banquet table, you need nothing. If you're sitting at the feast, there's nothing you need. You have it all before you. It's all there. But there's a crowd of people around you that need to be invited to that banquet table. There's a crowd of people around you. There's just so many of your friends in school that need to be invited to that banquet table, that need to know the hope that you have, that need to know the purpose that you have. And your life will speak, and then the words come in and say, you know, man, you know the reason I know everything's gonna be okay? Because Christ lives in me. Because he gives me truth. He gives me purpose. So there's some things you can do. Be a friend to the outcast. Invite those around you to church. Make your convictions right now. Make the convictions, the things that you will stand for before the temptation comes. Say, God, I know your truth. I'm making these decisions now. Find a brother or a sisterhood in Christ. You know, find that brotherhood in Christ. Find those brothers and Christian brothers and sisters around you that are following the same way. Pursue it with them together. Having a band of people around you to do it makes it so much easier. And finally, find simple ways to serve those around you. Simple ways. There's little ways. Sitting with someone at lunch, buying someone a candy bar at lunch, helping them pick up their tray when they drop it and everybody else is laughing in the lunchroom. All these different things, there's little ways that you can serve. Use that platform where you're at. When the world says you're in the lowly spot, God says you're in the high position. And finally, the last one is, going back to that verse in Matthew, are you storing up treasures in heaven or earthly trinkets? See, earthly trinkets will pass away when we choose God's path. We're making treasure in heaven that will last forever. So guys, our prayer is that freshmen, we are so glad that you're with us, that you're becoming a part of this group. We want you to get involved with us, but we want you, as you go into your school, man, use this time now in your life to speak to others, speak truth to them, speak Christ to them. God has given you all you need to live for him. So I'm gonna pray, and then we're going to end for today. Father, I come to you on behalf of the freshmen here, but Lord, I come to you also on just behalf of anyone that right now feels like, God, they are in the lowly spot in life. Nothing to give, tired, beaten down. And Lord, they'll take that verse in James that says, God, you have chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. And God, those are things that in an earthly way, if we just think about them, they don't do much, but by your Spirit, you can help us to understand them and take them on in our life. And God, it will come from the inside out and affect the way we live. So God, I pray that there's someone in here today that needs to know that they're chosen by you. And God, even though they may be low in the world's eyes, that God, you have made them rich in faith because they trust in you. And God, that we are heirs of your kingdom. We're sons and daughters of yours. You have a feast before us, God. We don't have to find significance here in the things of this world, in money and friends and popularity. But God, we find our significance in you alone. So Lord, I pray that that will work through us from the inside out, God, and others will see that and we draw them closer to you. Amen. Have a great Sunday, guys.